मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरी यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं. So we're reading from Canto 7, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 28. So hope everyone is ready with the book or with the link. Please chant. Ushi Nareshwa Bhudraja Suyagya Iti Vishrutaha Sapatne Nita Yudhe ज्ञातयस्तम उपासत उपासत. ट्रांसलेशन. इन द स्टेट नोन एज उशीनरा देर वॉज अ सेलिब्रेटेड किंग नेम्ड सुयज्ञ. व्हेन द किंग वॉज किल्ड इन द बैटल बाय हिज एनिमीज हिज किन्समैन सैट डाउन अराउंड द डेड बॉडी एंड बिगैन टू लैमेंट द डेथ ऑफ देयर फ्रेंड. सो व्हाट इज द कॉन्टेक्स्ट. सो परीक्षित महाराज हैड आस्क्ड वन क्वेश्चन. So Parikshit Maharaj asks this question that is Lord partial? And then Shukadeva Goswami started speaking. And then Shukadeva Goswami started speaking and he started narrating a pastime where Narad Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then Narad Muni started speaking about Hiranyakashipu. And now the description is Hiranyakashipu is speaking about another story of a personality called Suyagya. And Suyagya was the king of the state called Ushinara. And he has been killed by his enemies. This is the context. And now when he has been killed by his enemies, what has happened? All his kinsmen, all his people are sitting around. And they're crying. He had multiple wives. All of them were sitting around. His kids and his relatives, everyone around, they were sitting and crying. So let's see what exactly is Hiranyakashipu trying to tell. And why Hiranyakashipu is speaking this story or this pastime? Because Hiranyaksha, when Hiranyaksha died, his wife Rishabhanu and then his mother Diti and his sons, all of them were crying and lamenting. So Hiranyakashipu want to convey very nicely about, is it really worth crying when a person dies? And he wants to convey the message of Bhagavad Gita to all these people so that they don't lament for the death of their kinsmen. So let's see now what Hiranyakashipu wants to say. Now there's a description given about when the king of Ushinara, Suyagya, when he died. So what was his condition? What was the condition of the body? His golden bejeweled armor smashed. His ornaments and garlands fallen from their places. His hair scattered and his eyes lusterless. The slain king lay on the battlefield, his entire body smeared with blood, his heart pierced by arrows of the enemy. When he died, he wanted to show his prowess and thus he had bitten his lips and his teeth remained in that position. His beautiful lotus-like face was now black and covered with dust from the battlefield. His arms with his sword and other weapons were cut and broken. When the queens of the king of Ushinara saw their husband lying in that position, they began crying, "O Lord, now that you have been killed, we also have been killed." Repeating these words again and again, they fell down, pounding their breasts at the feet of the dead king. Perfect. As stated here, Rabasa Dashta Dachadam, the dead king, while fighting in anger, bit his lips to show his prowess, but nonetheless he was killed by providence, Vidhina. This proves that we are controlled by higher authorities. Our personal power or endeavor is not always supreme. We must therefore accept the position offered to us by the order of the supreme. So here, a very nice point can be realized. We have discussed this many times, but even if we discuss hundreds and thousands and lakhs of times, but still, no, it's less. And what is that? We are not the body, we are spirit soul. See, this is very clear. One of my friend, so he had visited one person who was dying, an old person. So he was narrating what happened. So this was in the hospital, but the person was on the deathbed. So he was telling that everything was there, you know, with that person. All his relatives were standing. Best of the best doctors was there. And lots of money was there. You know, bundle of cash that was kept on the table. There was a Mac, there was an iPhone. So, and that person on the deathbed was there in a very private AC room in that hospital. But everyone were there, but no one could help that person. All the cash remained there. iPhone, Mac, everything remained there. The relatives stood there. Doctors stood there. Best of the best equipments were there, but no one could save that person. No one. This is the bitter truth of life. We accept or we don't accept. This is the bitter truth of life. That one or the other day, you know, a person has to, you know, meet this formidable enemy of one's life, that is death. But it's very natural. You know, it's not something which is happening now in Kali Yuga. It's happening from Satyuga or from time immemorial. Anyone who takes birth in this material world, that person is sure to die. If he doesn't die, then he is not a human being or he is not a living entity of this world. So it's for sure that all of us who have taken this material body has to leave this material body. There is no question of holding this forever. So here we see that this person, we can understand that he is a king. So, you know, what opulence he might be having. And, you know, this verse makes it very clear that he had many wives. And then the thing that is described here is about the ornaments and the garlands and, you know, his armor and other things. You see how precious all of them are. So precious. Everything is made up of gold and other jewels. Why don't you just talk about that? What about his entire kingdom, his palatial building? All his horses and elephants and chariots and all the army. What about that? This is all external. But the body itself, the person itself had so much of strength. King means, you know, he'll be so strong. And here another point that is mentioned is his beautiful lotus-like face. Beautiful. No, he was very beautiful. He was very, or to better understand, he was very handsome. And king means he'll have nice, you know, muscles and, you know, chest and biceps and triceps and whatever, 6-pack, 8-pack or whatever. Everything might be there. But finally, look at the situation, what has happened. Now, the situation is the person or the body of the person is lying there. Or we can say the person is found dead there. And all that he owned is still there, including the body. Everything is there. But what's the use of all that? What's the use of all that? And look at this point that is made so nicely. His eyes lustreless. So whatever glitter we see in our eyes currently, when we look into the mirror and then, you know, look from this side, and then, you know, so much of makeup and whatever. Yes. All that luster which is there and the glittering eyes which are there, that become lustreless when a person dies. And all the beauty and all the glow that is there on the face, natural beauty. Yes. That goes to zero. The person becomes pale, the entire body becomes pale and black. That's what happened to this person. But entire life, you know, we are busy taking care of the entire body very nicely. Entire life. But the point is not this. The point is not that we are not supposed to take care of the body. But the point is, how much time are we investing in taking care of the body, which is temporary? And how much time are we investing in getting all the possessions, which are temporary? How much time are we investing? This is a very important question. And that we have to ask and answer to ourselves and accordingly decide, is it worth or is it not? If it's really worth, carry on. Now, who says no? If a person is intelligent, he'll understand, no, there is no, it's not worth at all. It's not worth at all. Only thing why we have to maintain this body is because it's a vehicle to practice bhakti. Simple. Only for that reason, this body has to be maintained. Prabhupada says, you know, one has to keep the body and soul together. So one has to work. You know, that's what Prabhupada says. So the point is that we have to understand what is temporary and what is permanent. when we understand what is temporary in our life, we will come to our senses and then we'll start working towards attaining something permanent, right? Permanent is only one thing, Krishna and Krishna's holy name. This is permanent. Everything else in this world is temporary. Everything else. Everything that we have, now be it the material things or be it some relationships or anything for that matter. This point, every devotee should understand. Now, very, very important. Very, very important. There's one devotee in Mumbai. What the devotee has done is, so on his wall, so his bed is like this. So in front of his bed, the wall will be there, right? So that wall, so on that, on very big letters, he has written that at the age of, when I turn 50, I have to leave home. Everything is temporary. I have to practice bhakti only. He has literally written that. Now with bold letters he has written. Yes. This is very important, you know, not writing on the wall, but reminding oneself that what is temporary and what is permanent. Many times people ask this question, Prabhu, I'm not able to become serious in bhakti. Please tell me what to do. Nothing. Sit at one place and just analyze what is temporary and what is permanent. As soon as we do that, we understand currently whatever I'm slogging for is temporary. Literally, I'm giving so much of priority to that in my life. And at the end of the day or at the end of life, what is going to happen? I'm going to lose all that. That's what is going to happen. We are carrying the burden. Now, literally, we're carrying burden for so long. Yes, it's almost like an ant. You look at an ant, right? It's so small. Once, now such a small ant was holding a big leaf. Now it was carrying the leaf. Okay. So now it was carrying from one place to another. It was going to its hole, you know, wherever it stays. So it was carrying the big leaf with it. It was dragging. And then, you know, it was small. So, you know, when it was going, it found some water. So some drops were fallen. So it was almost like a water body for it, right? A big ocean, maybe a big river for it. And then there were some crumpled clothes, which were looking like mountains, you know, mountains and valleys. And then, you know, there were other things, you know, which were there, you know, some dust particles and some eatables here and there. Yeah, so almost, you know, those were all like big stones and other things. And this ant is carrying the big leaf in its mouth and it's dragging. It crosses the river. It crosses the ocean. It crosses the mountains and valleys. And then, you know, it comes finally after long endeavor. You know, it reaches the hole. And now what's happening is the hole is small, leaf is big. The ant is pulling it inside. Come. It is pulling inside. But the leaf wouldn't go because, you know, the hole is small. And obviously the ant might have not done engineering to know that he has to cut into pieces and take it inside. And I said, oh, ant is ant. What to do? No intelligence. So ant is pulling inside. The leaf is staying outside. Ant is pulling inside. The leaf is staying outside. And finally, after trying for a very, very long time, ant got tired and it entered that hole by its own. It just went alone. In our life also, that leaf which is there is everything that we are carrying, including this body. And that hole is death. Black hole is death. And only we can enter that hole. Nothing else we can carry with us. Nothing else. Nothing else we can carry. This is the bitter truth of life. Bitter truth of life. No doubt about that. Right? And as soon as we understand this point, this bitter truth of life, so at that time we become serious. Yes, you know, I want to practice bhakti. Because only by practicing bhakti, a person can break the cycle of birth and death and go back home back to God, to Krishna, attain Krishna this very lifetime. But what happens? Maya Shakti is so strong. She's so strong. She keeps us in illusion all the time. No, don't. You hear the class, this person keeps speaking all this only. He's all lectures are heavy. So just ignore. His job is to speak and your job is to hear and forget. So don't worry so much. Don't worry so much. So what are you supposed to do? Hear, so because you have time, so hear and later you forget. What's the big deal? And continue chanting those whatever few rounds you're doing, because you have to do bhakti in limit. Because if you cross the limit, then you know it will be a problem. If you cross the limit, then maybe you'll go back home. So better, you know, it's a nice place to stay here. So be here. Be here and you know, chant few rounds and, you know, once in a while, you know, once in a week or once in a month, read and hear. And and then once in a year, come in association of devotees and be like that. And then, you know, after some time, the mind will trick. Are enough? How much you will do bhakti? Look at your friends. How much they're enjoying? They're living life. You're good for nothing. Yes. Take some life. Have some life. What are you doing? What are you doing? And then finally the person decides, you're correct. This is what I should do. I should enjoy. This is what the world is meant for, my enjoyment. Let me go for it. This is how the mind tricks, and the person gets, you know, into this trick of the mind and then gone, out. This is what is the importance of devotee association and Bhagavatam. So when we hear Bhagavatam, automatically the eyes goes wide. Literally eyes goes wide. Oh yes, this is the bitter truth of life. And the person becomes practical. Now sometimes such talks are called as impractical. Why we have to discuss about death? Why we have to discuss about all this? No, we have to discuss. Why? To become practical in life. Currently we are impractical. Currently we are impractical, living an animalistic life, and we are impractical. But when we become practical in life, at that time we understand that, okay, how much time to invest in material things and how much time to invest in spiritual things, right? And then the person becomes so practical that he becomes so innovative, and he gets knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita of how to convert the materialistic life which I'm currently living in and all the matter which I have into spirit. All the activities that I'm currently doing, how can I convert that into bhakti? This is how practical a person becomes. And such a person will attain Krishna. Such a person is called as intelligent by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says that such a person is intelligent. And all others who are not practicing bhakti, Krishna says moodha, foolish. So this is a very nice point to understand. And whenever, you know, such points come, we have to meditate. We have to invest time to meditate on the temporariness of this world. This world is real, no doubt, but it is temporary. We are real, no doubt, but this body is temporary. So this is what is analysis, you know, that we have to do every now and then. Even in Bhakti Vriksha, when this point comes, I would request all of you all to put in, you know, your views and try to understand and, you know, discuss more and more on this topic. Yes. Only when we discuss more and more and more, so at that time we'll come to our senses. Oh, okay, yes. So every week and, you know, week after week, when we have such discussions, automatically we'll be fired up when it comes to practicing bhakti. Automatically. No one has to give us a pep talk and, you know, be some cheer girl. Yes, you can do it. No need of all that. Automatically we'll become fired up. And this is what we see here. Look at the situation. This person has left, Suyagya has left, and now what is happening? The females, you know, they're crying and, you know, they're weeping. And when females cry, you know, it is seen that, you know, they, I don't know currently, but, you know, it is seen in the olden days that they would tell stories. Oh, you know, you're so nice. And how will I live? You have gone, and this and that and this and that. When it comes to men, they'll just shed some tears and cry alone, and they'll just go. Yes. But here, you know, we see that Mataji's, the females, the wives who are there, they're crying and crying and they're weeping and telling, "Now, oh Lord, now that you have been killed, we also have been killed." This is what is the thing, you know, when a person who's very close to our heart leaves us, we feel like we've lost everything. That's how it is. That's what these females are also feeling here, right? And they're literally lamenting like anything. Literally lamenting like anything. Let's see in text 32 what these ladies are doing. As the queens loudly cried, their tears glided down their breasts, becoming reddened by the kumkuma powder, and fell upon the lotus feet of their husband. Their hair became disarrayed, their ornaments fell, and in a way that evoked sympathy from the hearts of others, the queens began lamenting their husband's death. So this is the state in which they are currently. And this is what we see, you know, when a very near and dear one leaves us, you know, this is what is our state also. So we cry and weep and cry and weep. Yes. But then nowadays, you know, everyone has become independent. You know, so they are living their own life. So, and also, all glories to the media. Because when media helps us, you know, to move on in life. Yes. I can never forget, you know, when my grandfather left his body. I didn't go, you know, because I didn't want to see his dead body. I didn't go, but my parents had gone. So they were describing what's happening, and, you know, they were giving live commentary. And when he died, and at that time, you know, it was morose. You know, for a week, everyone were really morose and sad and things like that. After a week, you know, when I had called, you know, what are you doing? Everyone is sitting there watching TV. A nice movie is going on. You know, we're watching that. This is what is the state of this world. This is what is the condition of this world. That it doesn't allow us to stay in reality. doesn't allow us to stay in reality. It again and again pulls us into illusion. Again and again pulls us into illusion. And people around also will say, "Arey, move on in life. You know, how much will I mean, move on?" Yes, we have to move on. Not forgetting the person who has died, we have to move on, remembering him on the path of bhakti. That, yes, I will also attain that state very soon. How soon? We started the class with that. Like a water bubble on the surface of water. Anytime it can. But maybe that sound will also not come, because when we leave our body, sound might not come. All right. Text 33. Oh Lord, you have now been removed by cruel providence to a state beyond our sight. You had previously sustained the livelihood of the inhabitants of Kushinara, and thus they were happy. But your condition now is the cause of their unhappiness. See, this is a very nice point to understand. See, what is the line? You have now been removed by cruel providence. Okay. So now the providence became cruel only when their husband died. But when so many people were dying around, at that time providence was not cruel. This is how people blame. People blame providence or God or whatever we call it as. They blame. When something affects to them. But when something is affecting others, it's part of life, and we go and tell others, move on in life, it's okay, move on. But when it happens to us, at that time, we start criticizing and blaming and chastising God. Yes. So this is a very normal thing. And we'll ask this question to God. Oh Lord, why bad things happen to good people? This is the point. How much good we are? If we are really that good, then why are we in this age of Kali Yuga? Yes, we are sinful, so we are in this age of Kali Yuga. So the most sinful thing should happen to us. Yes, or the most disastrous things should happen to us. But it's the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Look at us, how nice life we have got. All of us who have joined today's session, I'm sure all of us are doing well. When it comes to body, our body is healthy. When it comes to our kinsmen, the people who are connected to this body, all of them are good. We come from a pious background. Monetarily, status is good. So all the setup which is given to us is very good. And the best of the best thing is with us, that is bhakti. Yes, that is there with us. So we are so fortunate. We are so fortunate like that. Lord has literally showered his mercy on all of us. Don't know what pious activity we have done. Sometimes I literally get this thought that, oh, don't know, Lord, what did I do in previous life that you have given me such a great treasure of bhakti and such a great treasure of devotee association. Such a great treasure. If devotee association is not there, what can we expect? Do a small activity. Close your eyes. Just close your eyes and do what I'm saying. So now currently we are in the devotee association. We are part of ISKCON. So we have Krishna in our life. We have got books of Srila Prabhupada. We have lectures of Srila Prabhupada. We have Bhakti Vriksha sessions. And then we have got these Bhagavatam sessions. We have got our festivals of Swadutsav, Deepotsav, and different classes and Gita course. Yes, we have Kirtan, we have Aarti. Now do a very important thing. Slowly pick Krishna from the life and place him outside your life. Throw him out. Take ISKCON from your life and throw him out. Throw it out. Take devotees from your life and throw it out. Now what remains? Just think about what remains. Open your eyes. Tell me what remains. What remains? Can we have some text? Yes, that's the answer. Nothing. Nothing remains. Nothing remains. As soon as Krishna is gone and devotees are removed. Removed. Done. Done. So same old life, as someone is saying, yes, nothing remains, zero, only misery. Yes. So this is what is the situation currently where, yes, this is what is the current situation. So one thing we have to understand, what we have got is the best of the best thing. Best of the best thing. And we have to treasure that. Yes, we have to treasure that. If we don't treasure, anyways, we are going to meet this cruel providence in our life. No doubt. All of us are going to meet. Not able to remove devotees and Krishna. Terrible. Yes. Yes, that's how it is. Very difficult. Very difficult. But we are very, very fortunate. If they wouldn't have been there in our life, if Krishna and devotees wouldn't have been there in our life, ISKCON wouldn't have been there in our life, anyways, we were going to meet death. Now, our situation is, we are not going to meet cruel providence because we are practicing bhakti and we all are practicing bhakti sincerely. So what are we going to meet? We're going to meet the greatest of the greatest thief. We're going to meet Krishna at the time of death if we are sincere and serious. So when it comes to cruel providence, this word or this phrase is not valid for devotees. Because devotees are eager. When will I meet Krishna? Devotees are eager. Oh, Krishna, come. Anyways, now I'm getting bored in this body. Remove me from here. I'll come with you. But when it comes to materialist, they are like, no, I don't want to come out of it. No, I want to stay here inside all the time. I don't want to come out of this body. And that is the tug of war which happens. When Yampasha is put by Yamadutas, they pull him out of the body and he's like, no, I don't want to come. And when it comes to devotees, so Krishna comes and devotees look at Krishna and devotees don't realize also that body has fallen down. They just walk with Krishna. We are the most fortunate people on earth. Most fortunate. Most fortunate. Everyone in this world is going to meet the cruel providence. Everyone. But when it comes to us, we are so fortunate that for sure, now we'll meet Krishna. For sure. The call is with us. What do we want to meet? Whom do we want to meet? Obviously, we'll not meet Yamadutas. For sure. Everyone who's wearing Kanti Mala Tilak, yes, they cannot meet Yamadutas. Yamadutas run away from them. No doubt about that. So we'll not be touched by Yamadutas. No doubt about that. But the thing is, are we going to attain Krishna or not? That is the question. That is the question. Maybe we'll get some good human form the next life. Maybe. Possible. Or maybe it is not possible. But there's a high probability that we'll get a human form again because we have done bhakti. But that is not the goal of life. Again, to get a human form. Again, start with ABCD and then do engineering, with PhD or whatever. No, that's not the goal of life. Goal of life is to attain Krishna. So when we every single day practice bhakti sincerely and seriously with the mood that I want to attain Krishna this very lifetime as soon as possible, then for sure that devotee will not meet the cruel providence and he will not enter any other womb in this material world. That's what is the goal of our life. And it can be accomplished. It's not a difficult task. It's not a difficult task. It's very easy. Because tell me how much difficult it is to chant. How much difficult it is to just hear something, Bhagavad Katha or Bhagavad Gita Katha, attentively. Or how much difficult it is to read a few pages of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Very simple it is, very simple. Only thing is, we should tell our mind, don't disturb me now. I'm doing something important, now be away, we'll talk later. Not now. Because the mind is the culprit. If we meet cruel providence in our life, then it's only and only because of mind and nothing else. Nothing else, right? So this is what is bhakti all about. What is bhakti? Bhakti is all about understanding our current situation, aspiring for the right goal every single day and making sure we don't meet the cruel providence. And this is what these ladies are saying. Maybe Suyagya was, maybe he was not a devotee or so. So he has met cruel providence. And all the females, all the queens are saying that how can we be happy? We were happy. But now, in this condition where you're lying in front of us, how can we be happy? And like this, all of them, they were holding the bodies of Suyagya. Body of Suyagya. Different parts of the body is held by these females. And they're surrounding that body. And they're not allowing any other person to come and take the body. That is what is the current situation. And they're crying piteously. They're crying piteously. And they're going on speaking. Look at this, what they're saying. Oh king, oh hero, you are a very grateful husband and the most sincere friend of all of us. How shall we exist without you? Oh hero, wherever you are going, please direct us there so that we may follow in your footsteps and engage again in your service. Let us go along with you. Now this is valid in past age. This is not valid in current age. Current age. Yes, I don't think anyone will say such dialogues. I want to come with you, take me wherever you're going, and so on and so forth. Yes, so let's read the purport. What Srila Prabhupada wants to say here. Formerly, a Kshatriya king was generally the husband of many wives, and after death of the king, especially in the battlefield, all the queens would agree to accept Saha Marana, dying with the husband who was their life. Now, okay, so there is a concept of Sati here. We'll discuss that more. When Pandu Maharaj, the father of Pandavas, died, his two wives, namely the mother of Yudhishthir, Bhima and Arjuna, and the mother of Nakula and Sahadev, were both ready to die in the fire with their husband. Later, after a compromise was arranged, Kunti stayed alive to care for the little children, and the other wife, Madari, was allowed to die with her husband. This system of Sahamarana continued in India even until the time of British rule, but later it was discouraged, since the attitude of wives gradually changed with the advancement of Kali Yuga. Thus, the system of Sahamarana has practically been abolished. Nevertheless, within the past 50 years, I have seen the wife of a medical practitioner voluntarily accepting death immediately when her husband died. Both husband and wife were taken in procession in the mourning chart. Such intense love of a chaste wife for her husband is a special case. So it was people say, talk about Sati and other things, and they say that, initially it was there, and then it was by force later, and finally now it is stopped. What was this Sati all about? Now the wife was so connected to the husband, and she was so dependent on the husband, that when the husband used to leave his body, so at that time she wouldn't find any other hope to live. Only time when she would live is only when she's pregnant. She would stay back. Or else she will just enter the fire, the cremation fire. She'll just enter that fire. That was called a Sati. And that the wife would do with love. That was done with love. That I cannot live without you, oh husband. Like, in this world, when premature teenage, when they get into something called a loving affair, there's nothing love, it's all infatuation. But when this the girl and a boy, they start getting into a relationship. So at that time, when something happens to the girl, the boy also dies. And when something happens to the boy, rarely the girl dies. Yes. So in this way, we see that people in this world, when it comes to this, previously they would do the similar thing what a girl and boy does now in this current age. But now that's not the case. Now there is not much of connection. Everyone is independent, and so there is no question of this. But what happened in between? Between what happened was people started telling that Vedic culture is impractical. Why? Because of one of the ritual called Sati or Sahamarana. But Sahamarana was not imposed on anyone. Later time, what happened is with time, Sahamarana was imposed, and literally the girl or that particular lady would be pushed into the fire. Literally pushed into the fire after some time. And there have been times when a lady, she had gone into the fire and she's burning, and she comes out from the fire and she goes and goes around running. There have been cases like that also previously. So it's not Vedic culture which imposed this Sati act which was there. It was the love of the female which made her to burn herself in the fire, in that particular fire where the body of the husband would be burnt. So this was all about by the thick love that the wife had for the husband. So when we say that this was there in Vedic culture, and people quote sometime. Now, people don't quote, but previously, a few years back, people would quote, Vedic culture is so impractical, and so on and so forth. So that's not the case. That's not the case at all. Right? So in this way, we see that when it comes to Sahamarana, so that was taken by many, many personalities in the past. And one of the examples that is given is when Pandu died. So at that time, he had two wives, Madari and Kunti. Both of them wanted to enter the fire because they loved Pandu so much. But then it was decided by the sages who were there that Kunti should stay back, and Madari, if she wants, she can enter the fire. And that's how Madari died with Pandu. Whereas Kunti Maharani stayed back like a very courageous lady. And she was the one who took care of the Pandavas, the five kids. Text 35. The time was appropriate for the body to be burned, but the queens, not allowing it to be taken away, continued lamenting for the dead body which they kept on their laps. In the meantime, the sun completed its movements for setting in the west. So it is said that when a person dies in the morning, the body should be cremated in the morning. And if someone dies in the evening, that person should be cremated in the evening itself. No, it shouldn't be kept for a long time. So that's what is the injunction that is given. But here, these females were not allowing. Looks like, you know, this person died in the morning, but they were holding the body and they were not allowing. They were not allowing for the cremation. Purport. According to the Vedic system, if a person dies during the daytime, okay, yes, the same thing is given here. Daytime, it is customary for his funeral ceremony to be performed before the sun sets, regardless of whether he is burned or buried. And if he dies at night, the funeral must be completed before the next sunrise. Apparently, the queens continued lamenting for the dead body, the lump of matter, and would not allow it to be taken away for burning. This illustrates the strong grip of illusion among the foolish persons who consider the body the self. Women are generally considered less intelligent. Because of ignorance only, the queens thought of the dead body as their husband, and somehow or other thought that if the dead body were kept, their husband would remain with them. Such a conception of self is certainly for Gokhara, cows and asses. We have actually seen that sometimes when a cow's calf has died, the milkman cheats the cow by presenting before her the dead body of her calf. Thus, the cow, who would not otherwise allow milking, licks the dead body of the calf and allows herself to be milked. This substantiates the description of the Shastra that a foolish man in the bodily concept of life is like a cow. Not only do foolish men and women consider the body the self, but we have seen that the dead body of a so-called yogi was kept for days by his disciples, who thought that their guru was in samadhi. When decomposition began and a bad smell unfortunately began to overwhelm the yogic power, the disciples allowed the dead body of so-called yogi to be burnt. Thus, the bodily concept of life is extremely strong among foolish persons who are compared to cows and asses. Nowadays, great scientists are trying to freeze dead bodies so that in future, these frozen bodies may again be brought to life. The incident narrated by Hiranyakashipu from history must have taken place millions of years ago, because Hiranyakashipu lived millions of years ago and was even then quoting from history. This incident occurred before Hiranyakashipu's lifetime, but the same ignorance in the bodily concept of life is still prevalent, not only among laymen, but even among scientists who think they will be able to revive frozen corpses. Apparently, the queens did not want to deliver the dead body of burning, because they were afraid of dying with dead body of their husband. So yes, there are multiple things that we can discuss here. So one thing is regarding burning and burying the dead body. Yes. So Sanatan Dharma says very clearly, in the body, when the person leaves the body, body is useless, just burn it and finish it off. Yes. So when it comes to the dead body, Sanatan Dharma does not give any importance to it. Any importance. So it is there in the culture of Sanatan Dharma that as soon as a person dies, the body is burnt. Obviously, there are some families, even in Hindu culture, where they bury. In fact, in my own family tradition, I've seen the bodies are buried and some places just acquired. In fact, according to Sanatan Dharma, why waste a place? This is what is the Sanatan Dharmic principle. Why waste the place? That can be used for something productive. Yes. And there is no question of the body will come back to life. Like we see only in the movies like mummies. They're stored and they come back to life. That's just a movie to see and get some goosebumps. But that doesn't happen. Never it has happened. And never it will happen. Only maybe some countable number of times when Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted personally to revive some dead body, then yes, it has happened. Like Sandipani Muni's son, Krishna's teacher, Sandipani Muni, when his son died, so at that time, after that, when Krishna and Balram came and they started taking shiksha from Sandipani Muni, and they asked, what Guru Dakshina should we give you? So at that time, Sandipani Muni said, I want my dead child back. So Krishna went and got him back. This Krishna can do. And Srivas Thakur, his son died. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got to know and he went there. The dead body was there. And then everyone were crying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he did? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, get up. Why are you sleeping? And the dead body got up. And the dead body started speaking. And he said, he spoke the same philosophy that we just spoke. And he said, I'm going to the next destination. Please bless me. And, you know, he leaves the body. So only in few cases, you know, it has happened where Lord personally has intervened and to teach some lesson or something like that. But when it comes to burying, so the body of a great soul has to be buried, not everybody. And that great soul's body, when it is buried, that is called a samadhi. Like we have Prabhupada Samadhi in Vrindavan. We have all our Acharya Samadhi in Vrindavan and Mayapur. So why that samadhi is so important? When a person, when a devotee starts practicing bhakti and when he perfects his life and attains Krishna, so this body also becomes spiritual. And when this body is buried at a place, that place is, or that is the place where that person remains forever, eternally he resides in that particular place. And it has happened. Now when Prabhupada, when he was staying in Radha Damodar Mandir, hope you all remember Radha Damodar Mandir. When Prabhupada was staying in Radha Damodar Mandir, and he was writing his first canto, second and third volume. So at that time, you know, Prabhupada that night, he would just keep weeping and crying and, you know, sweeping the floor near the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. So at that time, one particular night, this happened. It's a very confidential thing, you know, which is revealed. So one of the person, you know, from outside, he wanted to see who at dead of the night is crying. So he came to the terrace and he was watching from the top. Who is this person crying? And Prabhupada was the one who was crying profusely. So at that time, what happened is, Rupa Goswami, from the Samadhi, he came out. And Rupa Goswami kept his hand on Prabhupada's head and he said, Swamiji, we are there with you. The entire parampara is there with you. Go ahead. This has happened multiple times. The spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada also appeared to Srila Prabhupada. Like this, multiple personalities have appeared to Srila Prabhupada from the Samadhi. Right. So, eternally, a person who is elevated and who has attained Krishna stays in that particular place where his body is buried. Right. So, we give so much of importance when it comes to Samadhi of great souls. Yes. But, you know, when it comes to common public, now that body is useless because that body is completely sinful from top to bottom. Yes, so much of sin is committed, you know, top to bottom. So, you know, that body, so Sanatana Dharma says that body should be burnt. That's what is told in Sanatana Dharma, the principles given in Sanatana Dharma. Right? So, in this way, so this is what we have to understand. Whose body can be buried and whose body can be or should be burnt. Right? And it is a really a very unintelligent thing if a person retains the body thinking, oh, it will come back to life. There have been cases in India. So, India is called as a place of superstition also sometimes. So there have been cases in India where the dead body is retained and they'll take that dead body to a black magician. And the black magician would say that go and get a infant or a small baby. And when only when we give the bali of a small baby, this person will come back to life. Like this, so many nonsense things happens in India. So many nonsense things. There were many, many case studies like this which have happened in the past. One thing you have to understand is when a person dies, the person is gone. Where he has gone? To the next body. So if he has gone to the next body, how can you pull that person back to the same body? Not possible. So at least as the Gita course students, we should be thoroughly understand when a person dies, the person has left the body and where has he gone? He has gone to another body. He has gone to another body. He has not gone anywhere else. He has gone to another body. But we don't know which body is that. And good, we don't know which body is that. Will not trouble that person there. So now what is remaining in front is a body. It's a dead body. So when it comes to this dead body, so at that time, the needful should be done and the needful given in Srimad Bhagavatam is burn the body. Simple. Right? So in this way we see that these wives of Suyagya, they were not allowing the body to be taken away. And this was the situation that they were in. Let's see what next happens. While the queens were lamenting for the dead body of the king, their loud cries were heard even from the abode of Yamraj. Now, even in the abode of Yamraj, they were able to hear. Assuming the body of a boy, Yamraj personally approached the relatives of the dead body and advised them as follows. Now, this is what Hiranyakashipu is talking about. Hiranyakashipu is going to talk about what did Yamraj speak to these wives of Suyagya, by which they were pacified. Yes. And this is the discussion, or there's a dialogue that is very, very important. Because in this dialogue, Yamraj clears the concept of body soul from a different angle. So in Bhagavatam, from different angles, now it is very clearly given, we are not the body, we are spirit soul. You read second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is Krishna speaking? Eternal soul is eternal, body is temporary. So many shlokas, he's speaking the same thing. Why? Because we Baddhajivas of this world cannot accept that. Cannot accept. Because we have been convinced very nicely by the entire world around us, saying, you are the body. Nothing is there beyond the body. And we believe also. And so, you know, Krishna knows this very well. So for Arjuna also, he gave this message multiple times. So that later when we, you know, read this message, you know, we'll be able to convince ourselves. Right? Purport. Sometimes the living entity is forced to give up his body and enter another one according to the judgment of Yamraj. It is difficult, however, for the conditioned soul to enter another body unless the present dead body is annihilated through cremation or some other means. So this is a very important point which Srila Prabhupada is making here. So it is said that when the body is there, now since the soul is so attached to the body, the soul hovers over the body, looks like. And if the body is not cremated through some of the other means and last rites are not done, so the soul cannot enter the next body, you know, because of the attachment which he has. So it's very, very important. So that is the reason it is said in the morning, if the person dies, the body should be burnt in the morning itself. The living being has attachment for the present body and does not want to enter another. And thus, in the interim, he remains a ghost. If a living being who has already left his body has been pious, Yamraj, just to give him relief, will give him another body. Since the living being in the body of the king had some attachment to his body, he was hovering as a ghost. And therefore, Yamraj, as a special consideration, approached the lamenting relatives to instruct them personally. Yamraj approached them as a child, because a child is not restricted but is granted admittance anywhere, even the palace of a king. Besides this, the child was speaking philosophy. People are very much interested in hearing philosophy when it is spoken by a child. So this is the verse that we want to discuss now. It will take some time, but please be there and tune in to this concept, you know, what Yamraj is speaking. What is the concept that is spoken? This concept of ghost is spoken. So hear carefully about ghost. Yes. Before that, let me tell you, anyone who chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will not be infected or affected by ghost. Now let's talk about ghost. So what is this concept of ghost? Ghost is nothing but subtle body. The soul in the subtle body is called ghost. And in the soul and subtle body enters the gross body, that is called a human being, or that is called a human being. Okay. Now, when a human being, when the living entity leaves the human body, so what happens? Since he is not liberated, the soul with the subtle body comes out from the gross body. Okay. Now this gross body is still there. Now what is happening is the living entity and the subtle body are out of the body and the gross body is still there. Now there's a lot of attachment which the soul has, you know, for the gross body. Why? Why the soul has attachment even now? Because the soul is still covered by the subtle body. And the subtle body gives all the remembrance, not to the soul, about the body. Yes. And about the attachments, you know, that he has. So as soon as the soul and subtle body comes out, this body which is there, and it is said it should be burnt. Why it should be burnt? So that at least the attachment of the soul and the subtle body goes away. Now, you know, in lots of horror movies, very nicely it is shown, you know, the ghost comes and then long hair and the head also turns 360 degrees. Yes. And I used to like watching horror movies. And then I'll not sleep that particular night. I'd watch at the night, especially when no one is there, and I'd switch off all the light and then I would watch the ghost movies. And then entire night I'd be looking around. Yes. So let's understand, what is this ghost all about? The ghost is nothing but subtle body with the soul. That is ghost. Okay. Now, when this ghost becomes really deadly, when the next body is not ready. Now, just imagine. Now, when this body is cremated, the ghost, or you know, the subtle body with the soul, will enter another body. Prakriti has made the body ready. But now what happens sometimes is, when a person commits suicide, so that is a voluntarily call that he has taken, he finishes off the body, he comes out of the body voluntarily. Now, this is not the arrangement of Prakriti. Yamaraj has not pulled him out. He has come out by himself. Now, what happens is, if he has to live for 60 years, he has finished his body in 30 years, 30 years are still there for the next body to be ready. So now, since what the person has done, what is suicide? Why is it a criminal act? Because you are there in a jail and you are escaping the jail. Right? That is the reason there is double punishment that is given. Now just imagine when a prisoner runs away from the jail. Okay. So what happens? When he's caught, he'll be given double punishment. That's what happens here. Jailer is there. Durga Devi is there. And the soul is there inside the body. And the person decides, no, I'll come out of the body. And he untimely comes out of the jail. Now, Durga Devi, do you think she'll allow a person like that? And what is the punishment that is given? Another body is not ready. And that person remains as a ghost for another 30 years till that next body is ready. And now, why this ghost is deadly? When a person who is just there for the next 30 years, just, you know, hovering around, who is called as ghost, why is that person, or why is that soul, in Hindi they call it as atript atma, and it is called so many other things. Yes. So why is it really dangerous, or why is it so horrifying and things like that? Because the soul is having the subtle body, okay? And in the subtle body, all the memory is stored. So all the urges are there in the subtle body. The urge of hunger, the urge of thirst, the urge of sensual pleasure, the urge of other things. Now, the soul in the subtle body is subtle. So it cannot access the gross things. So now the ghost cannot pick up the bottle. I'm picking up because I'm not. Yes. So it cannot pick up the bottle. It means he cannot touch the gross body, the gross things around. So to touch the gross things, it needs a gross body. Without a gross body, the gross things cannot be touched. Okay. Now, if it cannot touch the gross things, then how can it eat? Then how can it drink? And how can it have sensual pleasures? Right? So that is the reason this ghost, or the soul with a subtle body, it chooses a body of a person who is emotionally weak, mostly the small kids and old people, and people who are mentally retarded, or who are emotionally weak, basically, emotionally unstable. So such people, such a person's body, the ghost will enter. Now there is a problem. What is the problem? That body in which the ghost has entered, already there was a soul. There's a soul and subtle body already there inside the body. Now another soul and body is entering. So what's happening? There are two souls in the body now. But now in this case, what happens is, the ghostly soul which is there, or the ghostly body, or the ghost, let's call it as ghost. So when the ghost enters the body, the ghost takes over the body and the soul which was already existing. So that is suppressed. Or the symptoms of that soul is suppressed. Yes. And now this ghost takes over the body and the body starts behaving weirdly. Because that ghost, whatever it wanted to accomplish with the gross body, he starts doing that through this gross body. Right? So this is called as concept of ghost. So yes, ghosts exist. We cannot deny the fact that ghosts don't exist. The ghost exists. But then there is no need for a devotee to be really bewildered about a ghost. Because a devotee, is always practicing bhakti. And anyone who practices bhakti, these ghosts will not affect that person. Why? And why do ghosts fear God? Because they are the imprisoned or criminals who have escaped the body, and they're fearful that they'll get punishment from the God. So they're always fearful from God or the holy name. Yes. So that is the reason they run away from the place. They don't stay at a place where the holy name is chanted, where the body has these various ornaments of bhakti, be it kanti mala or tilak or whatever. So we put tilak on 12 places of the body. So you can ask your bhakti vriksha leaders, they'll tell you, where all we put the tilak. So the entire body becomes like a temple. And now there is no evil energy that can enter this body. Yes. So that is the reason. So this is not all decoration that, I belong to ISKCON, so I'm wearing this. No. This is the ornament that is put on the body, or this is that protective thing that is put over the body, by which the body becomes like a temple. And now no negative energy, no evil spirit can enter that body. Yes. So this is a very, very important concept. Very important concept. Yes. Why this Vaishnava attire is so important? Why is it that this tilak always it should be there on the forehead? Because of this reason. Whenever a person has tilak always on the forehead, in fact, my spiritual master says that anyone who does not have tilak on the forehead, you know, that forehead is like a graveyard, he says. Why? Graveyard, a lot of ghosts are there, right? So, you know, so that forehead is like a graveyard. So when the tilak is put on the forehead, and we don't put tilak just like that to decorate, or very nicely, let's say, let's give a shape and like, Om Keshavaya Namaha. We actually build a temple there. Yes. We build a temple by putting tilak. Yes. And then Om Narayanaya Namaha at the belly. Om Madhavaya Namaha at the chest. Om, what is that? Om Govindaya Namaha at the neck. Yes. And then Om Vishnave Namaha. Om Matsudanaya Namaha. Om Tivikramaya Namaha. And at the belly, Om Vamanaya Namaha, Sridharaya Namaha, Rishikeshaya Namaha, Padmanabhaya Namaha. Then the lower back, Damodaraya Namaha. And at the end, on the head, Vasudevaya Namaha. So these are the 12 places and the 13th one is on the head. So these are the 13 places where the tilak is put. And these are put on the joints. So that the joints are always protected. Look at the scientific, subtle reason behind what we do. So nothing that we are doing is impractical or illogical or blind faith. Everything has got subtle science behind. Yes. Even Tulsi Mala that we wear, it is a very, very important anga of our body. It is said that even if we don't have any other ornament, this is the important ornament. Because this ornament, the other gold ornaments that we wear, mortal beings are attracted. But this ornament, when a person wears, Lord Vishnu gets attracted or Lord Krishna gets attracted. So this ornament makes a lot of sense. Yes. The Kanti Mala, which is made up of Tulasi. So when a person wears Tulasi beads, what happens? Now, we say that everything that we put in our mouth should be prasad. But now we're drinking water. Now, every time you cannot just offer the water and drink, right? So when the water is put, so it is said till here, Shastras say, till here, you know, it is untouchable thing. Yes. And then when it goes, when it touches the Kanti, so it is kept as at the Kanta. Because at the Kanta, now the water can go down, the food can go down. Yes. So when it comes to water, it touches the Kanti Mala at the Kanta and it becomes prasad and then it enters the body. Yes. This is a very, very nice thing. So that doesn't mean that we eat any food and, you know, it touches the Kanti. No. For food, that has to be offered to the Lord. Since water is, you know, something so. And also anyone who wears this Kanti, yes, this is like a dog belt. So what does this dog belt say? So whenever a dog has a belt, it means he has got a master. So this Kanti, when a person wears, he says that, no, I belong to someone. I have a master. Who is my master? Vishnu or Krishna. So when the dog belt is there like this, and when Yamadutas come, they look at the person. Oh, he's not a stray dog. He has a master. So if we take him, then his master will punish us. So the Yamadutas run away. This is called subtle science of Kanti Mala and Tilak. Yes. So it is very, very important that devotees have this ornament on the body. The ornament of Tilak and ornament of Kanti Mala as soon as possible. So as soon as the person gives up non-veg, follows four relative principles and chants good number of rounds, that person is allowed to wear Kanti Mala. And Tilak anyone can put. So, you know, it can be put very nicely. So more than the shape, the mantra is important. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Yes, so this is very, very important. So in this way, we see that all the things that we do in Vedic culture, it has got a deep science behind it. Only when we understand the deep science, we'll be able to practice it very nicely. And when we practice it very nicely, no evil energy can, you know, do anything to that person. So it is said that, you know, come what may, you know, there should be tilak on the face. At night also, if someone takes the bath, it is recommended immediately tilak should be put, you know, even before sleeping. Sometimes people ask Prabhu in the office, how can we wear Prabhu? So there is an option for that also. So there's something called water tilak. Water tilak means dip your finger in the pure water and then just, you know, just make a mark with the water. So that's an invisible tilak, you know, which is there. So at home we can put chandan tilak, and when it comes to office or school or whatever, we can put water tilak by chanting the mantra Om Keshavaya Namaha. Right? So when the body is there like that, like a temple, tell me, how can an evil spirit enter? The evil spirit will see from far, oh no, no, this is a place where Vishnu resides, where Krishna resides. And if Krishna sees us, you know, he'll surely, you know, he'll punish me. And then the soul with the subtle body, which is called as ghost, will run away from that place. Right? So this is the concept of ghost. So let me know if you have any questions on all this. So we will be having sessions thrice a week, as I already said. So we will have the next session on Thursday. So tomorrow is off. We'll have it on Thursday. So Thursday, we're going to see Sri Yama Uvacha. So Yama is going to speak. Yamaraj is going to speak. And Yamaraj is going to speak something really amazing. How many shlokas are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So good number of shlokas Yamaraj is speaking. And he's going to give really amazing philosophy with a different angle to understand the goal of life and to understand how we are not the body, we are spirit, soul from different angles. And also, Yamaraj convinces these queens to give up that dead body. And when Yamaraj starts speaking, they were convinced. They were convinced, right? So let's see that on Thursday. And let me take questions now. Obviously, today we'll have questions on ghosts, no doubt. Okay. So Chandan Prabhu says, in normal pace, one japa equal to 7 seconds, one round, 8 minutes, four rounds, 32 minutes, 16 rounds, okay, 24 hours, fastest. Okay, which pace of chanting is good? So basically 7.5 minutes is what is recommended, 7.5 minutes. So this fastest and all will not do. So 7.5 minutes is something which is recommended. So in half an hour, you complete four rounds. Suppose even if you're fast, you will still be between 5.5 minutes to 7.5 minutes. You cannot go less than 5.5 minutes. If you go less than 5.5 minutes, then it means your pronunciation is not proper. Now, I've seen some devotees, Hare Krishna Ram Ram, Hare Krishna Ram Ram, Hare Krishna Ram Ram. They chain the entire Maha Mantra. Yes. So that is not proper. And when it is too long, so it means mind is distracted. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the mind is going somewhere. So it doesn't work. So between 5.5 to 7.5 minutes is what is the recommended time. So accordingly, you can see the time, how much we are taking. Instead of encouraging widows to jump into fire, why wasn't there a system of getting them to take up to Krishna consciousness for the rest of their lives? Because Mataji, people like you who were ready to preach were not there. There should be some people to preach, right? Preach the message of Krishna consciousness. When did all this forcing thing started happening? When when the culture started degrading. Yes. So when the culture started degrading, people started becoming selfish and all these things came into picture. So that is the reason. Why here we're talking about jumping into fire. Currently, previously only widows were jumping into fire. Now everyone is jumping into fire, jumping into the fire of ignorance. So we people as preachers, we have to go around and preach the message of Gita. That is very, very important. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one is darkness. Yes, this comes in 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So yes, Krishna mentions about this in 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, but that is meant for yogis, Ashtanga yogis, not for devotees. Prabhupada makes it very clear. So Prabhupada makes it very clear that for devotees, anytime you leave the body, it doesn't matter. So if you leave the body in the morning time, we enter the morning pastimes of Krishna. We leave the body at night, we enter the night pastimes of Krishna. Simple. So for devotees, there is no worry. For the acharyas who are taking samadhi, are they sacrificing going to Goloka Vrindavan perpetually? Actually, see, when it comes to the acharyas, I don't know if it will be able to, is this the right time for me to speak this? But anyways, I'll speak because it's asked. But I don't know how many of us will understand this. So the acharya is here in this material world and at the same time he's there in Goloka Vrindavan. Yes. Hope you have understood. So Acharya is assisting already in Krishna Leela or in Gaur Leela, is assisting Krishna there. At the same time, he's there in the material world also. Like for example, a mere mortal being of this world, Ashtanga Yogi, can expand himself into 6 forms. Even now in this mortal world, in 6 forms. Then a person like Acharya, why can't he have a form in spiritual world and one in the material world? So he can. Acharyas cannot live away from Krishna. They cannot sacrifice Krishna for a Buddha Jiva. Yes, but they are very, very merciful. They agree to come here. In fact, Prabhupada says this to one of his disciple. It's a very confidential room conversation. So Prabhupada says, I was not interested to come here to this material world. Krishna told that you go and write your books and come back. So I've come. Prabhupada said this. Yes, so they come only to deliver all of us. But very mercifully, they stay back in the samadhi so that, you know, we can offer them prayers and we can stay connected to them. At the same time, they are with Krishna also. Does the soul get out of the subtle body ever? Or are the two a common unit? Only time when a soul gets out of the body is when the soul attains Krishna. Simple. Only when a person attains liberation or when he attains Krishna, at that time the subtle body is removed and the soul becomes independent. Till then, no. Since every day so many people die untimely death, say via accidents, aren't there a lot of ghosts in the material world? Not sure if all of them are entering other bodies. So I made it very clear, when a person voluntarily comes out of the body, he becomes a ghost. When there is some accident or something, then maybe, you know, that is what is the providence for them. That's what the providence has decided for them. That's how their death was. So if providence had decided, then Prakriti will make sure that another body is ready and they'll be taken to another body. No doubt about that. The concept of ghost should be clear. When the person voluntarily comes out of the body, at that time the person becomes a ghost. For them, the body is not ready. And voluntarily coming out means suicide. So even in our government, even when it comes to law, in this material world, it's a crime. Yes, it's a crime to commit suicide. And similarly, it's a crime to commit suicide even when it comes to spiritual aspect. Let me give you another angle why it is a crime. Because this body is given by Krishna. It is given for a purpose to practice devotional service. And a person voluntarily gives up the body, it's like giving up that opportunity given by Krishna. So Prakriti is saying, oh, you have done the greatest of the greatest mistake. You have given up a human body, because animals don't commit suicide. So animals don't have ghosts and things like that. Human body, when it is given up, so at that time it's a very, very great offense. Very great offense. So by suicide, when a person comes out of the body, it's a great offense. Great offense. And that is the reason he wanders around like a ghost. Or wanders as a ghost, not like, as a ghost. And and the suffering that he goes through is much more than the suffering even in the hellish planet. He's feeling hunger, he's feeling thirst, but he cannot do anything. He cannot do anything. He has to just suffer like that. Yes. Everything is written on fate by Lord Brahma and everything is done according to that. Then why committing suicide might be written by him? Then why after committing suicide, then why the soul becomes a ghost? This concept I've already told, that Lord does not write everything. Or our karma does not write everything. If that is the case, then we are robots. Then we are robots. And where is the question of next cycle of karma? There is no next cycle of karma if we are robots, right? So when it comes to animals, there is no karma aspect for them. They don't have new karma. Whatever old karma is there, they suffer for that. Why? Because they don't have intelligence. We have intelligence. We have been given intelligence and we have been given thinking power and we have been given desiring power. So a living entity has got that independence, decide of what to do with this human form of life. To live an animalistic life, to go back to Godhead, or to become a ghost. So it's up to us. That desire, that independence is given. So the answer to your question is, not everything is written by the Lord. Only people who want to escape responsibility, they say, fate. It's fate. When you preach to them about Krishna consciousness, whenever this fate allows me, I'll practice bhakti. This is how people speak. So that's not correct. So independence is given to every living entity to decide. That is the reason we have taken up bhakti. No, we all had independence. We could have taken up to live like a materialist. Do whatever you want, eat, drink, marry, like everyone else is doing in this world. But we have chosen this. So that is the reason Krishna gives a lot of importance to devotees, because using that free will, using that independence, that person could have taken to a materialistic way of life, but now has become devotee. So all of us have a special position in front of Krishna. Yes. So hope this answers your question. Since Paramatma is present in every body and it has spirituality in it, how can a ghost enter it? See, if this question, you know, is a very nice question, it's valid. But then another thing, you know, can be understood. Paramatma is there in everyone's heart. Why is it that not everyone is going back home back to Godhead? I'm sorry, I'm putting a different question to you. Same question. I'm putting a question to you. Paramatma is there in everyone's heart. Why the soul is not going back home back to Godhead? Because Paramatma is there, but the instruction of Paramatma is not used to spiritualize this body or to spiritualize our existence. So Paramatma is there as Anumanta and Upadrishta. He does only two things within. Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna is telling Anumanta and Upadrishta. Anumanta means he sanctions. Upadrishta means he's just watching. He will not interfere in any other matter. Only these two things he does. Anumanta and Upadrishta. Every incarnation of the Lord has a purpose. Okay. Now when it comes to Archa Vigraha, deity form, it has a purpose. To receive service. To accept service. Paramatma incarnation of the Lord has a purpose. Anumanta Upadrishta. So apart from this, Lord will not do anything. He'll allow the living entities to behave the way they want. If he starts, you know, putting various hindrances, where is the independence then? Right? So that is the reason, even when Paramatma is there in the heart, he remains quiet. In fact, now for your information, let me make your question complicated. So the subtle body with the soul also has a Paramatma. And they enter together. So Paramatma will never leave the living entity. They are always together. So Paramatma with the soul is there in the ghost body also, and he enters. So there are two Paramatmas, there are two souls, two subtle bodies. Yes, so this is what is the situation when it comes to ghostly body. Right? But the one who listens to the instructions of Paramatma and spiritualizes the body, such a body cannot be entered by any evil spirit. That is called as practicing bhakti. Anyone who practices bhakti, such a person can, such a person's body is free from evil spirits. Is it possible? Okay, now we have all ghost questions. Okay. Is it possible that even if person died and gross body is burnt, but still subtle body with soul got stuck for some time? I have... Oh, where did your question go? Okay. I have also heard stories when the last rites is not done properly, or if there is some strong desire of dying man which is not fulfilled, the subtle body still got stuck. See, being students of Gita, we understand that when a person has desire, that desire will give rise to another body. So this concept of having strong desire and remaining in ghostly body is not a very valid concept. Maybe in a very rare case, it might not happen, but in normal cases, it will not. It will not for sure. Because the desire has already given rise to a new body. Like if he has a strong desire, that's what he'll remember at the time of death and die. So the next body is ready. He enters the next body. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajyate ante kalevaram. Tam tam iva vikti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavitah. 8.6 Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is very clear. Whatever you remember at the time of death, you become that in your next life. So he gets the, you know, another body. You know, like that. So when it comes to last rites and all possible. When the last rites is not done properly and things like that. Maybe possible. I'm not very sure about this. Because... last rites are important. If it was not important, then why, you know, those rituals are there? So these rituals make a lot of sense if it is done properly. Obviously, if meat is fed as prasad, then it's a problem. You know, so nowadays, you know, there are some places. I was watching a video where even Lord was fed cigarettes and alcohol and meat. I don't know what form of demigod that was. So all that is done, then the person will rot in hell. Not even ghost body. No, he'll rot in hell and he'll suffer more than having a ghost body. Yeah, so proper rites done according to Shastra, then it makes a lot of sense. And it is said that even if the person is in ghostly body, but if the rituals are done properly, the Shraddha ceremonies and other ceremonies are done properly, even that person who is there in the ghostly body will be relieved. But Prabhupada says devotees don't do all these rituals, and because devotees already fast on Ekadashis. So when we fast on Ekadashis, so all these forefathers who are there, you know, who might be there. Now, this, see, this is not the first body we are in. There are so many bodies which we have taken. So whichever forefather which we had in any body, all of them get delivered when we start practicing bhakti and start fasting on Ekadashi. So this is a very important point. So fasting on Ekadashi is very, very important. If you're not able to fast with, you know, just on fruits and water, you know, there are a lot of recipes. We can contact our Bhakti Vriksha leaders. They'll tell us the different recipes. So just imagine when we practice bhakti, just going tangent, when we practice bhakti, not only we are benefited, all our forefathers are also benefited. Look at this. And when we become pure devotees, all the forefathers also go back, come back to Godhead, including our parents currently. Right? So practicing bhakti is very, very important. And just by practice of bhakti, we deliver everyone. So answer to your question is, yes, there can be cases where last rites not done properly, possible. As you said, something which has a start will end. The COVID-19 crisis, which is going on, it was predicted by Shastra, by one Muni. And it is said that there is a hand of Lord Kalki in Kalgaman, that there will be a transition 2025, that all who are demonic will be wiped out. According to Bhagavatam, still 4,27,000 years are there. So it's there. 2025 is not a big, this one, it's not a big year or something like that where people will be killed and something like that. I don't think so. So we have to refer Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam says, 4,27,000 are still remaining. Those many years are still remaining. Yes, and Kalki Avatar will come at the end. Bhagavatam 12th canto makes it very clear. Kalki Avatar will come towards the end of Kali Yuga, not somewhere in between. And that hand of Lord Kalki is there in this? No. Lord will not do all these small things. He'll come with a sword and he'll kill at once. He'll not give corona and all these things. It's karma of people, nothing else. As per discussion goes there, then who can see those ghosts? Do we need any mystic powers to see that? Any good or bad ghost? Why ghost behave weird manner? As ghost had soul, why can't it become devotee? So I think most of the question is answered. Let me know if it is not answered. One question that is not answered is who can see ghosts? A person who becomes a pure devotee can see ghosts. A person who attains Krishna can see the ghosts. And the person who has attained Krishna has the power to deliver ghosts also. So that is the reason it is seen that ghosts sometimes come and trouble a pure devotee also. Yes, a pure devotee is able to see the ghosts. And the ghosts come, they come personally to trouble the pure devotee to tell them that please deliver me, I'm struggling. And pure devotee, they're very merciful, they deliver. So mystical power, yes, no power is needed. So basically, what is ghost? Let's go back to basics. Now we're not speaking something very big funda. Go back to basic. What is the basics? What is a ghost? A spirit soul in the subtle body. Who can see spirit soul in the subtle body? Who has got spiritual vision? Who has got spiritual vision? Who has become a nice, pure devotee, fixed up devotee, who has attained Krishna? Right? So whenever we have questions, let go to the basic and try to understand and get the answers. Hope this answers your question. Good or bad ghosts? Ghosts are ghosts. Yes. When a ghost is there, so I don't know how we can call it as good, because the ghost is still troubled very badly. Yes. And in that trouble, if still there is mercy of the Lord, that the ghost will remain good, not troubling others. He'll not pass on his trouble to others. So it's possible. So very, very few ghosts who have received the mercy of the Lord will remain good. Or else ghosts are bad only. No? They are not bad because they're doing some activity. They are going through that pain. They're not able to withstand that pain and they want a gross body. So they're entering someone else's body. Not with a view to trouble someone, but to get relieved of that pain of not having a gross body. That is the reason. So here also, I would like to make one more point. We are so fortunate we have got a gross body. So we should thank the Lord. Thank you so much for giving a gross body. Yes. See, in this way, when we dive deep in different concepts of bhakti, we become more and more grateful to Krishna. Yes, more and more grateful to Krishna. As ghost had a soul, why can't it become a devotee? Chance is given to everyone to become a devotee. Everyone. But people are not using it. Now what to do? So the one who don't use this opportunity, they become ghosts. Can we put just a dot of Gopi Chandan chanting mantra while putting tilak or not? Because the shape has significance, as we all know. Yeah, shape is significant. So this is lotus feet and this is tulasi. So now my grandmother was saying, why you are putting all this? Put a small dot. Arey, I'm not doing fashion here, you know, by putting this. I was telling Arey, this is not a fashion. This has significance. So when we are putting a stamp on our head, it means we're taking the lotus feet of the Lord on our head. There's an opportunity for all of us to take the lotus feet on our head every day. And then offer Tulasi to him. Right? So we accept the lotus feet of the Lord on the forehead. Then with devotion, we offer Tulasi to him. So just a dot will not make some significance. But it is much better than putting nothing. Isn't the concept of sati somewhere supporting bodily attachment with husband? Yeah, that's what it's all about. So the lady has never seen the soul. She's attached only to the body. She loves the body. She has affection to the body. And she has a tight bonding. So she just jumps in the fire. In Mathura, we see a lot of widows spending the rest of their lives. Yes, they have decided to remain. So we find a lot of widows are there in Radhakund and other places. They are the most fortunate souls who are completely dependent on Krishna. They live on streets. They live on streets. If some wealthy person comes to give some saris to them, they have white saris. And they're happy. They're happy, you know, chanting all the time, putting tilak, wearing a white sari. They're happy. Does it possible for a devotee to be in material body and by going deep chanting, then we can go to Vaikuntha Loka and again come back to material body? No. See, who will come to material body? The one who desires to come to material body. Once a person goes to Vaikuntha and see the beautiful form of Vishnu, or a person who goes to Goloka and sees the beautiful form of Krishna, who will come back to this place? This is a nonsense place. Yes. Who will come back to this place? Suicide, is it not because of karma? Soul desires of suicide and Paramatma sanctions? So this is not karma. This is not because of the past karma. Yes. The soul desires intensely, I want to leave the body, and Paramatma says, Tathastu. Go ahead. Because this, without sanction of Lord, nothing can happen, for sure. So it was an intense desire of the soul to come out. And then it has come out. Paramatma cannot do anything. He is also handicapped because he loves the soul so much. Tathastu, go ahead. And he comes out of the body. Like that. So it's not because of the past karma that the person desires to come out of the body. Because of past karma, the normal time of death is decided. Not untimely death. Let me know if your question is answered or not. There may be many occurrences of untimely deaths, assuming occur to both devotees and non-devotees. How process goes on further towards next birth, including waiting time within subtle body, going through punishment, higher planets. Okay. I have to drink water for this. So many cases are there. I don't know how many cases we can take now. We have crossed the time. So first case is the person is very pious and he dies a natural death. Another body is ready and he goes to that body. A person is very, very sinful. So at that time, the soul is pulled out from the body and the soul is not taken to the hellish planet. Okay. And the distance between the earthly planet and the hellish planet is really huge. And in a slow motion, that person is dragged. It is described in Bhagavatam. Yes. And a lot of pain the person goes through when he's dragged, you know, from earthly planet to the hellish planet. So that is another one. Yes. So like this, these two cases, if we take. So when it comes to the pious person, you know, he comes out of the body and he's not very attached to the body. He goes to the next body. The person is very attached to the body. He waits for the body to be burned. That's what Prabhupada said. And then, now since the body is burned, now no option. He has to go to another body. Yes. I don't know how much time it takes. Now, some people say 3 hours, 6 hours or whatever. Sometimes it's said. When a person goes to hellish planet, he remains in the hellish planet for a very long time. Yes. And then, you know, he comes back to earthly planet when his sins are reduced. And then he gets a body here on this earthly planet. Right. Like this, you know, this travel of the soul, you know, starts from the current body. Depending on the attachment to the body, the time taken is decided and the person goes to another body. Or when the person is taken to the hell, depending on his sinful activities, it is decided and finally a body is given back on this earthly planet. Yes. And when it comes to Swargaloka, same thing. When a person goes to Swargaloka, he got a body there. and he finishes off his pious credit, then he comes here and he gets a body here. So hope now you understand. Higher planets, lower planets, papa punya is taken care. And when it comes to here, in this earthly planet, attachment to the body is taken care. Something. Heard in mantra chanting by pujaris, where they mention akala mrityu haranam. So how can mrityu be akala unless it is a suicide? Yeah, so now when it comes to our mantras, when it comes to Vedic mantras, it covers all case studies. So even if it's a natural death, still these mantras might be chanted so that they don't miss any case like that. So when it comes to death, then same mantras will be chanted. No, so when a person is committing suicide, same mantras will be chanted to that body for that death ceremony or whatever. So there are certain specific mantras which are chanted. So one of them may be this. What kind of body a ghost get in next life? Is it animal or human body, as the body has done an abominable act? Please explain. It has done abominable act and it has to suffer. So suffering is already there. So the body that it has to get will be decided by the karma that he has done when he had the gross body. So depending on that, the body is given. Is it also not mentioned that it takes 13 months for the soul to reach Yamaloka and hence monthly pinda dan, etc., because it's a sakshi only? I don't know the number. I don't know how much time it takes and so on and so forth. So 13 months and all, difficult not to accept. 13 months means more than 1 year. I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure about this because I've not read much about this. Because what to do? Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita speaks only about what to do in this body and how to get a better body. It doesn't speak what happens in between much. It speaks, but not so much in detail. Maybe some Puranas might talk about. Let me see if I can get the answer to this question. Every year we offer rites to our ancestors. What is the significance of that? Yes, that is called a Spindadan. So every year we offer this offering that if at all, if some forefather is remaining in some ghostly body or suffering in some hellish planet, by our Pindadan that we do, so that person will be delivered. So that puja is done. Pindadan is done. For devotees, Prabhupada says that no need. If the devotee sincerely practicing bhakti, then no need. God is in every particle. Yes, correct. Best example, the devotees who could see ghost is Gokarna. Yes, Gokarna. When we say forefathers are delivered due to our good deeds, forefathers may already have been in assumed different gross body already. So this basically, when you talk about forefathers, we are talking about those in the ghostly body or in hellish planet. We are talking about them. Not about people who have already got a body. Do subtle body still chant Hare Krishna? That's a nice question. Answer is yes. Because there are also ghosts in Dham as well. Yes. And those are special cases. Those are the ghosts of they are devotee ghosts. And they have become ghosts because they committed some abominable act in the Dham. And what Krishna does, he gives the ghost body there only and makes them stay in the Dham itself. It's a special case. And then they remain in Dham and they keep wandering in Dham, be it Vrindavan, Mayapur or whichever place. And finally, when the term is over of their suffering, they get another body in Dham itself and they're delivered. So Krishna is very, very, attached to the devotees. So even in the ghost body, he's not allowing the person to move out of the Dham. He keeps them in the Dham itself. So it's a special case. So those ghosts are there who know all the chanting and all the mantras. So if we meet with such a ghost in Dham, so our no chanting will help. Because they also are devotees. Is there anything faster than man? Soul. Soul is faster than man or mind. Is ghost activities add to its karma? So karma is associated with the body that is given to us, and the desire is what decides the karma. So the ghost will desire, and yes, no, since it is desiring, so it will have karma. It has to have karma. The ghost is desiring that I want to do this and trouble people and so on and so forth. Yes. No, it will have karma. Obviously, it will add to its karma, but at the same time, it is going through a lot of pain already. So lots of sinful reactions are already burnt. Already burnt because of the suffering that is already going through. Okay, today's attendance is 88. Okay. So thank you very much. So we have answered all the questions. So please don't meditate on the ghost before sleeping. Meditate on Krishna. Yes. And please understand the importance of the gross body that we have got, and the importance of the body which is functioning completely. And also today we discussed about the importance of devotees, importance of Krishna in our life. Whenever we feel that I'm not practicing bhakti very nicely, just remove Krishna from the life and see what happens. That's what will happen when we don't practice bhakti nicely. Krishna will go out from our life, or devotees will go out from our life, and so on and so forth. So with this note, I would request everyone, please practice bhakti very intensely. And tomorrow we don't have a session. So please hear Prabhupada, another 1 hour in the evening at the same time. Yes. And on Thursday when we meet, we'll continue the discussion and the speech by Yamaraj. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.